Okay, well, this morning we are going to start on a teaching series on how to read the Bible and how to understand it. And it's a great joy to be able to start into this. I don't know really how long it'll take, a couple months, 2-3 months, I guess. But this teaching series will help us to actually read it and to actually understand it. Because we're going to show how to read it, how to understand it, and how to benefit from that understanding. And the end result of this would be that we get to know the God that's spoken of in the Scriptures, in the Word of God, and gain a relationship, a loving relationship with Him. Now that's quite a benefit. How many classes on maybe taking how to fix a TV would you get? And you gain a relationship with God Almighty. So, that's what we're after. And what we're going to do to start is I have three Bibles here. And what I'd like, I'm going to volunteer Dan. He doesn't know why I'm doing this. And this is a Bible. And what I'd like you to do, I put this yellow or orange thing here. I want you to read the first scripture underneath that arrow for us all. Okay? Just read it out loud. Go ahead.
Mark your voice.
This is Psalm 1, verse 1. Go ahead. Dan?
That's Greek or something. It's all Greek to me.
Okay, do you understand what you're reading?
No.
Okay, are you having trouble reading it?
I can't read this language.
Okay, all right, well, let me have it back. Okay, now I got another volunteer, Perry. You don't know that either. We got the same thing. You're gonna read. This is Psalm 1:1, and this is gonna be a little easier. I'd like you to read the first verse. Go ahead, do it out loud.
Yeah, no.
Looks like my daughter's writing about 20 years ago. She was an
infant. All right. So you had trouble reading.
Yes.
Did you understand what
not,
you...
Not
the pit, right? Okay. I got one more. Wendy's our next volunteer here. This is Psalm 1:1. I'd like you to read it out loud.
Okay. I just want to let you know. Woo! This one I took that. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the wicked, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful.
Did you have trouble reading it?
No, I didn't have trouble reading it. Nope.
Did you basically understand what you read?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Okay. Good job, Wendy.
That language.
Well, the first Bible was the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Bible that Dan tried. The next one is a Syriac translation of the New Testament that Perry tried. And this one is the revised edition of the King James Version in English. And the point here is that if you can't read it, you're not going to be able to understand it. And if you don't understand it, you won't benefit from it. So that's why we want to find out how to read the Bible. How do you read the Bible? And that's really the first step. So we're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're just going to park our Bibles there for a minute. The first question I want to consider is, in light of how to read the Bible, is what is the Bible? Now, to us, that may seem like a very simple question. We know what the Bible is. But if you look at the amount of people that are around the world, there are a lot of people who really don't know what the Bible is. They may have heard the term, but if you asked them, tell me what the Bible is, perhaps they wouldn't be able to tell you. I myself at one time couldn't give you a clue as to what the Bible is. So the interesting thing is the word Bible is not in the Bible. You can't find it anywhere in the Bible. The term Bible is not written anywhere in the Bible. And the reason is that the word Bible was a term attributed to the Bible by people. It was not given by the author of the Bible. It was given by other people attributing it to that book. So I thought we'd look at the definition of the Bible in the dictionary. This is Webster's New Universal Unabridged Dictionary. And I need the magnifying glass. And I'm going to read you four popular definitions of the Bible, according to this. The first is the collection of sacred writings of the Christian religion comprising the Old and New Testaments. Number two, the collection of sacred writings of the Jewish religion comprising the Old Testament only. Number three, the sacred writings of any religion. Number four, any book, reference work, periodical, etc., accepted as authoritative, informative, or reliable. I had, when I could play the guitar, which was a long time ago, I had a Bible called the Guitar Chord Bible. And it was an authority on chords, but guitar chords. So the word Bible, or the term Bible, isn't designated just to what we are looking at. It's really a, like I said, it could be used on anything that's authoritative. So, as a matter of fact, on the outside of your Bible, it probably says Holy Bible, not just Bible, but Holy Bible. Some even say the Holy Bible. And the word holy is prescribing as sacred. So this is sacred as far as certain people are concerned. So we're going to first look in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to see what it says of itself. And the first verse, 16, says the first word is all. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So the first word there, all, is pretty self-explanatory. It's not just some. You can't take some of the scriptures and say it's inspired of God and then others are not. All scripture, it says, is given by inspiration of God. And the word scripture is a Greek word called graphe. And it means that which is written. It's sometimes translated as a writing. And the reason why I'm giving you a Greek word is that the Bible was not originally given in English. It was not originally written in English. The King James Version that we're using here, the New Testament was from the Greek and the Old Testament was from the Hebrew. So we use sometimes Greek words, we look up the Greek word behind the English for more clarity. Oftentimes it will give us more information concerning a word. And so the word here, if you look up the word scripture in a concordance, you're going to see a Greek word graphe, and that's what it means. That which is written, a writing. So what I thought we'd do, it says here, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. All these scriptures are inspired, or all these writings are inspired of God. Let's go to Matthew. You can keep your, well, we're going to come back to here, but we're going to go to Matthew chapter 1. And I want to look at other places, some of the other places in the New Testament that this word graphe was used, just to see what it says concerning it. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Matthew chapter 1, verse 42. We're just going to read some of these.
Matthew 21.
Did I say 1? I'm sorry.
Yep.
Matthew 21. 2:1. Matthew 21, verse 42 says, Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the scriptures? That's that word, graphe. The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Chapter 22, verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. Same word. Chapter 26, verse 54. But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? Verse 56. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Let's go to Luke chapter 24. Look at Luke chapter 24. Verse 27. These are all places where the word graphe is used, referring to writings or that which is written. 24, verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he, referring to Jesus Christ, expounded unto them in all the scriptures, all the writings, the things concerning himself. Verse 32. And they said one to another, these are the couple guys that he was speaking these scriptures to, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures, the writings? Verse 45. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, that they might understand the writings. Let's go to the Gospel of John. And this is just a sampling of this word graphe throughout the New Testament. John chapter 5, verse 39. Jesus Christ speaking says, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. John chapter 10, verse 35. If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. The scripture cannot be broken. Book of Acts, next one over. Acts chapter 8, verse 32. Acts 8, 32. Graphe, a writing, or that which is written. Verse 32. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. Verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The word graphe is a writing. That which is written. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which also, or which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Verse 4, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, those writings. Now we're going back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, where we first went. 2 Timothy chapter 3. So we saw some of those words, that same word used elsewhere. Then going back to 2 Timothy 3, reading it again, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction in righteousness. These scriptures were inspired of God. God's the one who inspired them. Another way of saying it. God's the source of these scriptures. God is the author. And these writings were made up of words, right? Writings are made up of words. So since these writings were inspired by God, the words of these writings are of God. So in essence, the Bible, to answer the question, the Bible is the Word of God, or God's Word. So the next thing we're going to look at is the word profitable in this verse. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And profitable is a Greek word, ophelimus, and its basic meaning is helpful, serviceable, advantageous, aiding. So all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable or advantageous or serviceable or helpful. And keep your finger here. We're just going to go over one or two pages. Back to the left, 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to see the same word, Greek word, for profitable. And verse 8 says, for bodily exercise profiteth little. Little is a little while or a season. Not that it doesn't do anything for you, but it doesn't last forever. You do 100 push-ups every day. Once you stop doing those 100 push-ups, the profit's starting to wane. The bodily exercise does profit. Profits a little. It's the same Greek word as 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It has an advantageous effect on us, which is why there is a benefit. And here it says that it's profitable for four particular things: doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. So let's go to, in the Old Testament, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 15. What I'd like to do is just look at some of the attributes of God's Word. So the Bible is really the Word of God. And perhaps to us that seems so simple. But at one time we didn't know that. There was a time where we really had no clue what the Bible was. And there are still a lot of people in that same boat. These are some of the attributes that the Bible has or will do for an individual. And in chapter 15, there's a record of a man named Jeremiah who literally found the scriptures that were in scrolls in a temple. The temple was destroyed and he found them in the ruins. And in verse 16, it says, "Thy words," referring to the words of the scrolls, the writings, "were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." This understanding of the words that Jeremiah read of the Bible, the scrolls, caused a joy and rejoicing in his heart. And that's one of the things that God's word will do, is it can cause a joy and rejoicing in our hearts. Let's go to Psalm 12. Just looking at some different attributes of God's Word. What it says of itself or what it says it will do. Psalm 12, verse 6, says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." They're very, 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 very pure. They're pure words. Psalm 119. Psalm 119 gives, there are a couple hundred psalms and verses in Psalm 119, and every verse has a reference to God's word, whether it calls it a statute, a scripture, a law, precepts. Every scripture, every verse gives reference to God's word. We're going to look at verse 105. Susan read this last week. Verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Verse 129 says, thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them. These words are wonderful. Verse 130, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." So these words that are from God, they do give light. They light up our path. Verse 160. okay. Yeah, okay. Verse 160, I was looking at the wrong verse. "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe at of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. The word of God can give our hearts great rejoicing. Let's go to Psalm 19. We'll subtract 100 psalms, and we'll end up in Psalm 19. Again, just looking at what God's word, the Bible, says about itself, or what it does, attributes. Psalm 19, and we're going to look starting at verse 7. And it says, the law of the Lord is perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect. Law is referring to the words of God. And the word perfect means complete or whole or without blemish or uninjured. It's perfect. Converting the soul. And the word converting is often translated as restoring or reviving. The word of God will restore an individual's soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear, this word fear is could be translated as reverence or awe or respect. The respect, the reverence of the Lord is clean. It's cleansing. Enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them, referring to these scriptures, is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. That's some of the things that it says referring to itself, what it is or what it will do, or what it does. So let's go to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. At one time I had no clue as to what the Bible was, no clue what was in it, no clue what it could do. But once I started reading it, and starting to understand it, started benefiting from it. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. This is Jesus Christ speaking. It says, but he answered and said unto them, it is written. This is a verse he's going to quote from the Old Testament, one of those scriptures. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And those words can be found in the scriptures, the writings, the Holy Bible, the sacred writings. Every word of them can be found there. Let's go back to Luke chapter 24. We read this earlier. We're going to look at it again. Luke chapter 24. And learning a little bit about what the Bible is. This is a record where Jesus Christ, after he'd been raised from the dead, he was, before he ascended into heaven, he was walking along a pathway, and he met up with these two gentlemen, two believers, and asked them how they were doing, and they were sad because they had heard that Jesus Christ had died and all this, and he spoke to them the word, and we're going to look at that verse again in verse 27. It says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Jesus Christ opened up these scriptures, got it to a point where they could understand it. And their report to it was, did not our heart burn within us? And the word burn could be translated as kindled or put on fire. You know, it just kindled their hearts, got them really excited. It really, really thrilled their souls. Verse 44, And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. So the Bible is the writings of that were inspired by God Almighty. They are profitable. They have great attributes. They can rejoice the heart. And as these two people found out when they learned of the scriptures that Jesus Christ expounded to them from the Word, the Old Testament, their hearts burned within them, and they actually understood it. And so for us, as we learn these scriptures, the benefit to us is that we get to learn of the God that's in those scriptures, and we get the gain of a relationship, if we choose. He's always there, if we choose, to have that relationship. It's unlike learning any other subject, because there's a God, a living God behind those words, and that to find out of His love, to find out of His mercy, to find out of His goodness, of His peace, find out what He thinks about you. Hey, if you ever want to know, hey, what's God think about me? When I first found out what God thought of me, my heart melted. I was like, holy smokes. I was shocked. Just absolutely shocked. And I decided to fight against it and say, no, that's not true. No. I said, hey, that's what he thinks about me. I'm dropping what I think. But it lets us know who that God is. You know, do we really know about God's peace? Do we really know about His mercy? Do we understand His love? Does He love? Did He have any kids? Has He got a wife? You know, what is God? And these scriptures reveal the God of the scriptures. So next week, what we're going to do is go over how did the Bible come about? How did it actually get into the form that we have it today? So it'll be fun. So.